Well, if we understand Satan's strategy, we'll recognize it. If you want to turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy 2, this is a fascinating passage where Paul talks about how Satan gets involved in the lives of believers and how we're supposed to respond to that. And basically, just as we saw Peter teach us that we're to be on constant guard for Satan's attack, Paul warned us in 2 Timothy 2 that Satan can snare believers. He can turn them away and attract them away from what God's purposes are as they gather into anything but God's purposes. And look what verse 23 says in 2 Timothy 2. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. One of the underlying evidences of Satan's presence is when Satan comes into a situation, strife begins. Satan is one who causes strife. He sows discord among believers. And there's foolish and ignorant disputes, and that generates strife. In verse 24, the servant of the Lord must not quarrel. We are not to be known, if we are true servants of the Lord, as quarrelsome, but rather as gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. Now look at verse 26. This is what happens. This is what goes on. This is what neutralizes. In fact, someone asked me, where were you last Sunday? I said, oh, well, last Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Bonnie and I were doing a retreat. I mean, Bonnie was invited to do a women's retreat for a few hundred ladies on Titus 2, and I was invited to do a men's retreat on Titus 2, the men's part, and she did the women's part. And then we were both invited to go to a church and do a similar Sunday morning, she with the ladies and me with the whole congregation. And as I looked out at and read about this group I was meeting with, most of them, almost 90%, were full-time Christian workers and counselors, Christian teachers, missionaries and pastors. And they were on the front line of experiencing what it says right here, if you look at this. They experience in their lives what verse 26 says, that they confront people that need to come to their senses and escape. And look what happens to people. Believers are snared of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Have you ever been with a believer and all of a sudden you hear them sharing things they shouldn't share, discrediting, slandering, spreading gossip? And you look at them and you go, whoa, that just doesn't seem right. What have they done? Look at verse 26. They have been taken captive to do Satan's will. In fact, the word slander in English is actually a translation of the Greek word, which is the name of Satan, the devil. Slander is the devil. Only the devil is his proper name, but the meaning of the name is slander. Satan is primarily one who slanders, accuses, and when believers are slanderers and accusers, verse 26 says, they have been ensnared by the devil and they're taken captive. Well, how did they get snared? Well, the word right there, look in verse 26, that word snare is a word that God chose. It's the word pagus. It means primarily anything that fastens or holds something fast. People can get fastened to something that the devil wants them to do, and they're stuck to it, and they get gripped by it. It also is used for a noose, a snare, and a net. And Satan is at work setting snares that he wants us to get fastened onto. It's anything but God's word, God's will, and God's plan. And if he can distract us, pull us, snare us, stick us to anything but the wisdom that's from above, then he's accomplished his purpose. As believers, we can become ensnared by false doctrines. Now, what are those? Ones that are not grounded in the Word of God. Ones that are our preference, or ones that are what we've heard, but not what God says. We can also get snared by any of the sins that so easily beset us, as it says in Hebrews 12. We have to constantly be setting aside any encumbrances, because we're so easily beset by sins. Paul says that we can get stuck onto snares and become trapped in our minds and intoxicated by the devil. In fact, I like what one commentator said, and I'll read it to you. He was preaching through this passage, and in two and a half sentences, he says, a world of truth. He says, it is only through God's grace and provision of repentance and knowledge of his truth that anyone, including sinning believers, ever come to their spiritual senses. So when it says, look again in verse 26, that they may come to their senses, what does that mean? It means they're not in their senses. They're intoxicated. They're inebriated. They're controlled by something outside of them, which is basically the snare of Satan. Then he continues, Anilepho, come to your senses, literally means to return to soberness, indicating that falsehood and sin produce what might be called a type of spiritual inebriation. Believers enter a stupor, resulting in their loss of judgment and the proper control of their faculties. The destructive effect of teaching falsehood and sin numbs their conscience, confuses their mind, erodes their convictions, and paralyzes their wills. And we see that. Have you ever seen a believer acting very much not like a believer? And you look at them and you say, what is going on? Very likely they have been snared to do the will of Satan.